And welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you here with Manhattan Regional Airport Director Jesse Romo. And Jesse, what's kind of the latest going on at the airport? How are things going at the airport right now?
Things are going really well. You know, it's been a month since we started our service to Dallas with the large aircraft. We got the CRJ-700s flying out there. We're hearing a lot of positive customer feedback for it. Just as a reminder to folks, too, now that we have the bigger planes that can carry more baggage, more people, you might want to start showing up a little bit earlier to make sure that TSA and the airline have enough time to check all those bags in and get you screened in and onto that aircraft. But, yeah, things are going really well. We saw the employments pick up a bit in May, and we've also got the CRJ-200s flying to Chicago. And while those are still 50-seaters, they're a different type of fuselage, and so you got 2x2 rows and seating, and we're hearing some good feedback on that as well.
Imagine this is a pretty busy time of year for you guys.
May is usually a pretty busy time, yeah. Our travel picks up quite a bit as the students leave from school and they go back home, and we get a lot of folks too starting to do their summer travels. So we saw a lot of activity out there. So yeah, things are going well. And plus, we've got an RFP on the street for food service in the terminal. This is round two of that effort, and we're hoping that we get a little bit more interest and more proposals that we can evaluate. The City Commission can evaluate all the different options on how to move forward with hopefully providing some food service and retail inside the terminal.
Any timetable you're expecting on that? I know this is really just kind of early stages of that. But
Later June, I want to say June 23rd, is when the deadline is for everyone to have their proposals in. But this June 9th, we're going to have a mandatory meeting for everyone to come in that's interested in proposing. So that's the afternoon of June 9th.
All right. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about last week, I think it was the end of last week, President Trump made a lot of news talking about his wants to privatize air traffic control. And we got an email from Senator Jerry Moran's office Monday against that proposal. And we were just wondering, what's your take on that, and how would such a plan affect Manhattan Regional?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually the president of the Kansas Association of Airports. So we had discussed this as a board a couple months back when it started to really heat up out there on the Hill. Because the issue's been out there for a little bit, and there's a bill introduced by Representative Schuster. But the airports in Kansas are concerned about what a privatization or a hostile takeover of air traffic control by the airlines could mean to the smaller communities, including Manhattan. You know, when an airport has a tower, you have to ask yourself, why does it have one? Because each one's got its own story of safety issues, concerns, airspace, coordination with just multiple different types of aircraft that are coming in. So, you know, in Manhattan, we've got a contract tower airport, which means the tower is not manned by FAA employees. It's manned by Midwest Air Traffic Control under a contract with the FAA. And so that is a federal contract tower program. It is a slightly privatized way of doing air traffic control for the towers. They are extremely efficient in as far as cost and operationally getting aircraft in and out goes. To put them at risk, though, seems like it just may not be the best move for a lot of these airports. Plus, you know, if the airlines come in and have a large say in the matter of where air traffic control towers can be, or how aircraft are, you know, slotted in and prioritized, then you could see new cost-benefit analysis come out that would be troublesome for smaller communities. You know, rural states like Kansas would have a hard time justifying under, you know, when you have comparisons to a small airport like ours to a Chicago or a Dallas, where there's a lot more traffic and it's a lot more visible of airline activity. And so there are some negative consequences that potentially could come from this. And ultimately, it just seems like a solution looking for a problem. The main challenge with the FAA's management of the air traffic control system, what the airlines are vocalizing, is their timeline in establishing the next generation of air traffic control. Mostly that's due because the FAA has had a lack of full funding from Congress. So whenever Congress gives them money for that effort, they've made some progress. But really, if you want to have point a finger at something, it's a lack of funding. not necessarily the FAAs dragging their feet on the process. So, you know, when we've got the most complicated and the most efficient and safe record for managing air traffic control, you really got to look at all the different options as to why are we looking at completely overhauling this thing and handing it over to a conglomerate of airline representatives. So it's a sticky situation, and we'll have to see how it all plays out. But I know that our Kansas delegation has stood pretty strong for standing for Kansas airports, maintaining their towers, and protecting our air traffic control system. So we'll see where it goes next.
And when they talk about these terms, when they talk about privatizing something, as far as for this, what does that really mean? I feel like a lot of people look at this as an accountability issue and kind of where that accountability would shift. How does that kind of work with this?
Yeah, that's a concern for a lot of folks across the board. So when we call the agency the FAA, and it's kind of a misnomer to think that the FAA is, you know, one singular entity. They've got several lines of business, and this would fall under the Air Traffic Organization, ATO. And the ATO, even though they manage the air traffic control system, they integrate and cross over with a lot of different lines of businesses within the FAA. So when you try to pull out one of those functions away from the FAA organization, it's got this, you know, spider web tangled mess with all the others. So I don't know how clean it can be and how it could look. So when you're asking for accountability, it's going to be an organizational challenge to really make that all work and play out. So, you know, the proponents of this are trying to incorporate some language to help protect some concerns and alleviate some concerns, but I just don't see it yet.
And there's also concerns just about oversight, too, especially when you're talking about air traffic control. I mean, the main goal there is always safety, right?
The goal is always safety. It should always be safety. And I know a lot of the challenge has been there's slots and availability for places like JFK and, you know, LAX. You got the large cities with large airports that have the major issues, but, you know, I just don't know what the ripple effects are going to look like across the board. And we're cautious about some of the adverse impacts that could come our way.
All right. So just kind of something to stay on the lookout for. Because like you said, this is something that has been talked about for a while. It's not necessarily a new topic, but maybe new as far as when this is coming out of the White House a little more forcefully. I guess that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's getting a lot of new play right now because it's being revitalized by the president's support of it. But I think there's a lot of conflicting views on the Hill overall. So I'm not sure that they're going to gain consensus anytime soon or move this forward anytime soon, because this will literally take an act of Congress to make it work. And I don't see it happening relatively quickly.
And they got a pretty busy docket there anyway, a lot of other things that they're dealing with. All right, Jesse, anything else on your mind? That works for me, unless there's more from you.
You know, the afternoon of June 14th, we're going to be hosting Fort Riley. They're doing a cake-cutting ceremony here inside the terminal. And so if anybody wants to come out, we're going to be doing that at 3 o'clock. That's part of their 100th year celebration for Big Red One, and they picked a couple key locations outside of the fort that wanted to highlight the relationships and partnerships. And we do everything we can to help support their missions, you know, whether it be for passenger travel from air service to the military ramp and the operations that they get to run out of there. So we're looking forward to having them. That'll be inside the terminal again, June 14th, 3 p.m. Everyone's welcome to come on out and see, get a little bit of cake.
All right. That's always good. Yep. Who doesn't like cake? All right, that works. Really appreciate the time, Jesse.
Yeah, no problem.
More in focus after this.